to all of you. This chapter 11 is entitled Vishva Rupa Darshana Yoga. Rupa means the form. Form of the Lord. In what form? Vishva. Vishva means the world. That means to darshana means to worship the Lord as the world itself. The world itself is a total form of the Lord. That means what? Since the Lord is in the form of the world, and where is the world? Right in front of me. Everything is right in front of me. But yet I cannot see. Darshanam also means seeing, inverted commas. I cannot see, hence I cannot worship the Lord as this world, as everything in this world, because of one and one reason only. And what is that? The impurity of the mind. So because of this impurity of the mind, until this impurity is removed, then only I can see everything as divine. Whatever I see and experience in this world, not only people, objects, but various experiences that I go through, whether they are favorable, whether they are unfavorable, everything I can only see divinity in it. In order for me to see that, I have to have a pure mind, a purified mind, an uplifted mind. So the terminology used for this uplifted mind in verse number 8, which we are going to come to shortly, you can see the word there in the third line of verse 8, Divya Chakshu. Chakshu means eyes. Divya means divine eyes. Krishna is telling Arjuna, you cannot see me now as the world. You are unable, although I am in this world, you are unable to see me. So I have to give you a divine eye. Divine eye is nothing but removing the impurities from your mind. Once the impurities are removed, your mind becomes refined, your mind becomes pure, and thus you see everything as divine. So this is what is Vishva Rupa Darshana. This purification of the mind. But we must understand one thing. In order for us to get this purified mind, what must we do? What must we do? We must go through karma yoga, act of selfless actions. Then we must go through upasana yoga, prayers and meditation. Then we must come to knowledge, jnana yoga. And all this is going to take how long? Many lifetimes, right? So, the question, why do you all say, why you are so pessimistic? Say, Lord, this lifetime I am going to do it. So, but Arjuna is getting this by the very grace of the Lord. Which means what? This kind of divine eye is only temporary. It is not going to last long. Because it is a temporary grace that Lord Krishna has given to Arjuna so that he can express what he sees, and thus we also can understand what it means by Vishva Rupa Darshana. That's why later, first when Arjuna sees the vision of this Vishva Rupa, he is very, amazed, Vishmayo. He is very amazed at such a vision. Then he gets fear also. Why fear? Later on we'll see. He goes from amazement, he goes to fear. Why fear? Imagine if you can see the whole world as God, what an amazing feeling you'll have. And Arjuna experiences, but then later it becomes fear. He sees it outside himself. He sees the positive and he also sees the negative. He sees that creation, he also sees the destruction also, and that brings fear onto him. And then he goes through a third emotional phase of what we call surrender. So first amazement, then fear, and then surrender. These are the three emotions that Arjuna will go through. So now we saw the first five verses, and we were discussing into verse 6 when Krishna said, okay, Pashya, he uses the word Pashya in verse 5, in verse 6, in verse 7, in verse 8. Pashya means behold, see, I am going to show you now the Vishva Rupa Darshana. And he started describing that in verse number 5 and verse number 6. And in verse number 6 we have discussed that the first part of it which he says is Vasus. The eight Vasus. We have discussed what are the eight Vasus. Because everything, the whole creation, the Devas, the Asuras, the planets, the sun, the earth, the solar system, everything is part and parcel of this Vishwarupa Darshana. So he says, see, behold the eight Vasus also in me. And what else besides the eight Vasus? Aditya. Aditya we have discussed in the chapter 10. If you recall, how many Adityas are there? How many Adityas are there in chapter 10? Huh? 12. Why 12? Because each represents the sun in one particular month. So every month the sun has a different name. So Krishna says, I am the 12 Adityas. See that also in me also. And then I am Rudra. See the Rudras also in me. How many Rudras are there? Chapter 10 also we discussed about the Rudras. 11 Rudras. What are the 11 Rudras represent? The 10 senses, the 5 what we call Jnana Indriyas, the 5 Karma Indriyas plus the mind. So total 11 are all represented by the Rudras. That's why Rudras means the howling one actually. The crying one. Why crying one? Because when these 11 leave our body, what happens to the body? It becomes dead. And thus people around us cry. So they call them the howling ones, Rudras. So the 11 Rudras are also part and parcel of this Vishwarupa Darshana. Ashvi now, there are two Ashvinis who preside over our pranas, incoming, outgoing breath. So Ashvinis. Then Marutas. All this we have discussed in chapter 10. Basically, this is what Krishna is showing him in his Vishwarupa. How many Marutas? How many Marutas? Huh? This is what? Yes, wind gods. There are 49 wind gods. Because why? 49 types of winds. Hurricane, typhoons, soft wind, roaring wind. So there are 49 different devas who are called the Maruts who are in charge of different types of wind. So Krishna says all these devatas is mentioned here. 49 plus 2 plus 11 plus 12. All these devatas are what? He says, are part of the Vishwarupa Darshana. So may you see, Pashya is telling Arjuna, may you see all this also. That means that kind of vision is not only seeing what is in front of him, he is seeing even beyond that. All the devas which are in the higher lokas, he is even able to see that also. Right? And what else he says? Not only that, but this Vishwarupa Darshana is far beyond that also. He says, Tatha, along with all the devatas, which are part of the Vishwarupa, you can also see what? Purvani. You can also see the past. What has happened in the past also is part and parcel of Lord also. Because Lord is the one who knows the past, the present and the future. So Purvani means before, Adrishta means what has even never been seen before. That means what? The future also you can see. And what is it in the future that Arjuna most wish to see? He's telling Arjuna, you can see which was unseen before, which has never been seen before. What is it that Arjuna really wanted to see? What is going to be the outcome of the war? isn't it? That's what he really wanted to be. So he said, see that also. What has never been seen before by even human beings, you also can see the future also. So whatever you want to see in the past, in the present, in the future, everything is there. And furthermore, what else is there that you can see in this vision of Lord? Says, Bahuni, many, many, Ascharyani. Ascharyani is in the fourth line. Ascharya means strange things, strange phenomena that you want, that have never been seen by people. Whatever strange phenomena in the nature, everything also you can see. All the glories, whatever in the nature, that also you can see. So this is what he wants Arjuna to see. Okay, but Arjuna is still not able to see because he has not got the what we call the Divya Chakshu yet. But this is what Lord is saying. May you see all this in my form. So in verse number 8 now he says, verse number 7, you see the word Mama Dehe. Mama Dehe means my body. Now therefore, that's why when we see a depiction of this Vishwarupa, normally you see the picture of Krishna's body, and in Krishna's body you see all the all the various things and all that. But here it does not mean that suddenly in Krishna's body all this appears. What is Krishna's body actually? The whole world is Krishna's body. The whole creation is Krishna's body. So here we must not take that Mama Dehe in my body to mean that we saw in the body of Krishna. Because Krishna's body is also finite, it is limited. It means the whole creation, see everything in this creation. And that means what?
It's like all around him.
That means
he's not seeing.
That means everything he's seeing is part and parcel of Lord. If I see a hand, it is of Lord. If I see a head, it is of Lord. That means everything is connected to that one source, to that one supreme being. So it is not like Krishna's body suddenly appeared and then everything was in him. No. What is very symbolic? My body means the whole creation is my body. But how are the people going to depict it to you? So they show you like this Krishna, and in Krishna's body they show you all these various things going on. But we must try to understand, actually it is the whole world is Krishna's body. As there's, the Purusha Suktam says, the sky is his head, the earth is his legs, and the four corners are his ears. So that is basically what they are describing. The whole world is nothing but God. So he says here, Ekashtam, the whole world existing in my body, existing in one place. And what he says, everything, he wants to make sure that we understand, everything means sacharacharam. Second line, you see the word. A trick meter or something. Yeah, I think that's it, I just tripped. So sacharacharam, that means moving and not moving. Chara, achara. So you wait a while for the lines, otherwise you can't see what you are writing. Open the door. Right. The whole body, and then you see everything is Krishna, right? So that's why we got a wrong picture. We think that suddenly in Krishna's body everything is there. But it's not there. Because Krishna's body also is limited, it is finite. What we are trying to do is see the whole world as nothing but God. So what? Sanjaya. So how many people saw the Vishwarupa? Arjuna, Sanjaya, Vyasa also saw, Vyasa, some of, look, Draupadi saw earlier, but here on the battlefield, Vyasa saw, Sanjaya saw, Arjuna saw, that guy. No, Hanuman. He was on the flag. He also saw. And who else? Ganesha, who was writing. So these five people all saw. But earlier than that, when Krishna went to the court of the Kauravas, there he also showed his Vishwarupa. And there many people saw also. And then before that, Ma Yashoda also saw it in his mouth. The whole world in his mouth. So actually three times he has shown the Vishwarupa. So now on the battlefield he is showing to Arjuna, but other people also like Sanjaya, like Ganesha, like Vyasa, like Hanuman, and even the blind king Dhritarashtra also saw that also. Right? Because Sanjaya was relating it. Right? So now let us see what else he says. So Mama Dehe, in my body, meaning the whole world is my body, he says, may you behold Pashya Sacharachara, moving and non-moving things, both sentient and insentient things. So you must understand, therefore, everything is but part and parcel of divinity. So what was chapter 10? Chapter 10 was one in all. See me in the sun, see me in the moon, see me. Now chapter 11 he is reversing and saying, see all in me, in one, all in one. Okay? So, and then he says, Ichasi. Ichasi means whatever else you desire also to see, you can see. So, in the past you can see, the future you can see, the present you can see. Whatever else you desire also you can see. Right? And he says, see Krishnam. The word Krishnam here on the first line means not Krishna, but it means entire, totality. So see the total, what? Jagat, universe. The entire universe, the planets, the solar system, the earth, the moon, the sun, everything. See everything also in me. So in the Mundaka Upanishad also, this Vishwarupa Darshana is described also. It is said the sky is his head, as I told you earlier. The eyes, what are the eyes of the Lord? The sun and the moon. The sun and the moon are his eyes. The sky is his head. What is his, his ears? What is represented or symbolized by the Lord's ears? The four corners, north, south, east, west, all the four corners. Why? That's why we say Lord is all knowing. He knows everything. What is going on every part of the world? Because his ears are in all the four corners. And what is his speech? What is symbolized by his speech? The Vedas are his speech, because the Vedas are said to be spoken by the Lord himself. So the speech is the Vedas. His breath is the wind. And So his, the earth is his feet. So that means what? In short, the whole world is nothing but the appearance of the Lord. So again, all this is symbolic. That's why the question is asked always, why is Krishna's color blue? Why is Krishna represented as blue color? Sorry? It's a color of the sky, and the sky is everywhere. So that means Lord also is everywhere. That's why his color of the body is blue. But there's another reason. When you see the sky from far away, what color does it appear? Blue, right? But when you go near, what color is actually the sky? Colorless actually, it's white. So what does it mean to us? When we say Krishna's body is blue, symbolically what does it mean? When you see Lord is somewhere far away from you, then he appears as blue. But when you are one with God, actually he is colorless. That is a symbolic representation. As long as you say Lord is somewhere else and I am somebody else, then he appears as blue, just like the sky. You see far away. But when you go near into the sky, you see actually it is colorless. So when you are actually one with God, God is also colorless. So here he says, see everything in one place, ekashtam, everything in one place, the whole creation, moving, non-moving, etc. In verse number 7. So now, he realizes that actually Arjuna is not seeing anything, because he's saying, Pashya, 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 see this. But he realizes that there is no expression in Arjuna's face, because he's not able to see what Lord is telling him. So now in verse number 8 he says, Anena, with this now, I am going to help you now. Anena Swachakshu. Swa means your own eyes. Now here again we have to understand that we have two types of eye. One is our physical eye. In the physical eye we can see everything that is in front of us, that is manifest. Right? But Krishna is saying, this swa chakshu, this physical eyes of yours, he says, drashtum, he uses the word drashtum, if you can see in the first line, na drashtum, you are not able to see me with this physical eyes. Swa chakshu means your physical eyes. So since you are not able to see me with the physical eye, I have to dadami. The word dadami appears in the third line. I have to give you, I have to empower you with what? Divya Chakshu. Eye which is divine. Which means what? To remove the impurities from your mind. That's what we call the third eye. Third eye is when we can see everything as divine. Means basically when there's no impurity. As long as I have ego, as long as I have greed, I have anger, I have envy, I always see, I cannot see anything as divine. I see everything as not divine. But when there is purity in my mind, everything appears as divine. I can see everything as divine. So Divya Chakshu is removing that impurities, the dirt of pride, ego, jealousy, anger, etc. And then we are able to see everything as divine. See, that's why the Viveka Buddhi is very important. The Viveka means the intellect, to awaken this power of discrimination. In the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, he was asked, what is this Viveka Buddhi? How do we use it? So he gave an example, Ramakrishna. He says, just like when you go and see a magic show, the magician is there. He takes a hat, he pulls out a rabbit from it. Now you know that it is a illusion, right? You see the rabbit come out, you see a frog come out, you see so many things come out from that one little hand. You know it is an illusion. How are you able to know it's an illusion? Because of your powers of discrimination. You are able to discriminate what is illusion, what is reality. Who is real? Magician is real. What is not real? All the magic tricks are not real. You can use your power of discrimination. But to a child, it looks like what? Real magic. It's real magic. Because the child has not developed the power of discrimination. But we have the power of discrimination, and that is at a very low level. But to see the world as unreal requires a higher power of discrimination, higher purity of mind. So this is basically what is Divya Chakshu. He says, now I'm going to give you that. With that Divya Chakshu, Pashya Me Yogam Aishwaram. Pashya, may you behold my Aishwaram, superior yoga. Superior yoga means, may you behold everything in my creation, as my form, as my appearance. So he says, I am going to give you that now. And very simple example, we have also discussed this before. The very same world that Arjuna is seeing is not going to change. Arjuna is the same, the world is the same. It is only a transformation in Arjuna that he sees the same world in a different light. Like what we said, you take an apple from the market, you call it a apple, fruit, right? And then you take the apple to the temple, and after doing prayers, you call the apple prasadam. Apple has not changed. You have changed internally. Now you look upon the apple with a new vision. So Vishwarupa is just having that new vision. See the whole world with a different attitude. Okay? So now, in verse number 9, now the scene shifts back to Hastinapura. Now you see verse number 9 starts with what? Sanjaya Vacha, meaning Sanjaya said. In the next 6 slokas now, Sanjaya is going to speak now. Now, why is Sanjaya going to speak? Why suddenly the whole thing shifts back to Hastinapura and Sanjaya starts speaking? What is the reason?
Arjuna's reaction seems about...
Right.
Speechless.
Correct. Arjuna is speechless. He is now seeing this whole divine vision now. So he is speechless. Krishna also is not saying anything. Why? He is blessing Arjuna. Right? So he is also not saying anything. Arjuna also keeping quiet. So Sanjaya says, give me the mic now, let me talk now. Because everybody waiting, you know. The minute you give the mic, the minute you keep quiet, somebody likes to grab the mic. Because everybody wants to show off that I so can talk, I so can sing, you know. So now Sanjaya says, better now I take over the mic. So now, what does Sanjaya say? Sanjaya is relating to him everything. Sanjaya is relating. So, Sanjaya can see because he has been blessed with Divya Drishti. By who? By Vyasa. Vyasa has blessed Sanjaya with Divya Drishti. So Sanjaya is sitting in Hastinapura with the blind king and seeing everything that is happening on the battlefield. And Sanjaya can not only see, he can also hear. He can also enter into the minds of every warrior and know what they are thinking also. That is called Divya Drishti. Divya Drishti. Drishti is sight, Divya is divine sight. Right? Like the satellite. He's got satellite vision. So he is the, what we call the first war correspondent. Not CNN. Sanjaya is the first war correspondent. So he is relating to him everything now. So now he is describing what is happening now to Krishna, to Arjuna now. So he addresses Dhritarashtra, the blind king, as Rajan. So you can see in the first line the word Rajan, king. Hey king, hey Rajan. blinding Dhritarashtra. Having spoken Krishna, he addresses Krishna as Hari. Second line, the word Hari is there. So, Krishna is addressed with two names here. One is Hari and one is Yogesh, Maha Yogeshwara. Maha Yogeshwara means that there are three words. Maha, Yoga, Ishwara. So, Maha Yoga Ishwara is also the last word that Sanjaya uses to address Krishna. In the closing verse, chapter 18, verse 78, he also addresses Krishna as Maha Yogeshwara. Maha Yogeshwara means what? Means all the yogas. Yogas means all the sadhanas we do to unite with God is called yoga, right? Yoga means to unite with the Lord. So whatever sadhana you use, be it bhakti, be it karma, be it jnana, who is the ultimate receiver or who is the one who has designed all these various sadhanas for us? It is the Maha Yogeshwara. That's why he is known as the Maha Yogeshwara, because he has given us all the sadhanas how to unite with him. So that's why he is called Maha Yogeshwara. And he is the ultimate goal of all our sadhanas. So that's why he is addressed as Maha Yogeshwara. Secondly, he is also addressed as Hari. Hari comes from the root word Harati. H-A-R-A-T-I, Harati. Harati means one who is the remover. Remover what? What does he remove? He removes the impurities, which means he removes all our obstacles to spiritual growth. Whatever impurities we have that are an obstacle to the spiritual growth, he is the one, Hari, who is the remover of all obstacles. So, he is addressed as Maha Yogeshwara, he is addressed as Hari. He says, Evam Uktva, having spoken to Arjuna, that he is going to give him this Divya Chakshu. Now, he is blessing him. He is blessing him, meaning he is removing all the impurities from his mind. Right? And thereafter now, this is what Lord is showing him. He is showing him his Aishwaram Rupam, the very form of the Lord, the divine or the universal form of the Lord, the highest form of the Lord. And why is this called the highest form of the Lord? This Vishwarupa Darshana, it is known as the highest form of the Lord. Why is that? That's what he says, Paramam, he uses the word Paramam. Paramam Aishwaram Rupam. Paramam means what? Supreme, divine. This form, this Vishwarupa Darshana is the most supreme, the most divine. Why is that the most supreme and the most divine form? The highest form. It is all inclusive. It is beyond time and space. It is not limited by time and space. Whereas all other forms that we worship, Rama form, Krishna form, Ganesha form, Devi form, are all restricted by time and space. Whereas Vishwarupa contains everything. It contains Rama form, Krishna form, Devi form, everything is contained in that, and it itself is beyond time and space. So that's why this is called Paramam Rupam Aishwaram. Therefore, a devotee can worship this facing any direction. There is no particular direction to worship Vishwarupa. You can face north, south, east, west, wherever you want, because everywhere is nothing but the Lord also. So now in verse number 10, now Sanjaya is describing. So he, that means what? Sanjaya also can see this Vishwarupa, because he is describing. Not Arjuna is describing now, Sanjaya continues to describe this Vishwarupa. And how does he describe it? Aneka Vaktra Nayanam. First line, Aneka Vaktra Nayanam. Aneka, many. Many what? Vaktra. Mouths means many faces. You can say many mouths or you can say many faces. So this Vishwarupa Darshanam is every mouth, every face is belongs to Vishwarupa. And Nayana means eyes. So many, many, many eyes also. And again, please understand, it does not mean that suddenly this Krishna came out, he had thousands of eyes, you know, thousands of mouths and all that. So we must understand, all the eyes of all the people, all the faces of all the people belong to this Vishwarupa Darshana. Okay? That's what we have to understand. They are all connected to this Vishwarupa. How do we understand this? Just like we see the waves in the ocean, we see multiple waves, but we understand that all the waves are nothing but the ocean. But why we call it waves? Because of different form, different shape, different size, different color. But ultimately, they are nothing but the ocean. If you realize that, if you see that, you do not have to say waves. What do you say? Everything is nothing but ocean. So if you realize also every face, every eye, every mouth is nothing but the appearance of the Lord, Vishwarupa Darshana. And what else he sees? Aneka Adbhuta Darshana. Aneka Adbhuta, Aneka many, Adbhuta wonderful sights, Darshana, wonderful sights which we experience, majestic sights, whatever we can see in creation. That's what Krishna said at the end of chapter 10. Whatever you see which is awe-inspiring, which is thrilling, which takes your breath away, all that is nothing but my glory. So wherever you see a beautiful waterfall, you see a beautiful rainbow, you see a beautiful sunrise, all these are nothing but part and parcel of God's glories. It is His manifestation. We can therefore worship God in all His glories. So that is Aneka Adbhuta Darshanam. What else? Aneka Divya Abharanam. Aneka many Divya Divine Abharanam means decorations. These ladies can easily identify. What type of decoration that you all wear? Ring you wear, necklace you wear, whatever bangle you wear, all the decorations. Meaning what now? Did Krishna appear suddenly wearing tons and tons of bangles and bracelets and rings and all that? You know? Ornaments, ornaments, ornaments. Abharanam, decorations means ornaments. Means what? What does it tell us? Huh? He is opulent, yes, okay, but again, it is not him wearing all the decorations. All the decorations that you are wearing, all the necklaces, bangles, rings, whatever you are wearing, is nothing but also belonging to him. Because he is the source and origin of everything. And that is why in our culture, when we first buy ornaments, what do? We offer to the Lord as prayers. Why? Oh Lord, this belongs to you. I am temporarily borrowing from you. Because we say they are all but nothing but Lord, isn't it? So Lord, this belongs to you. I am wearing it temporarily. I am borrowing it from you. So that means what? Humility. Nothing actually belongs to you. Right? So we should not take pride, right? Oh, this bangle is mine, you know, this necklace is mine, you know. Right? Everything belongs to you, Lord. But I am temporarily using it because I've got a wedding function to attend.
Husband is
nowhere. Huh? Husband was the instrument that God gave him the money to buy the ornaments. So that also we must think. Not I bought the ornaments for my wife. I was an instrument that I got the money to buy. Money also belongs to God. Right? So, that's why in our culture we do that. Symbolically we offer to the Lord. Because it is His ornament and we are using it temporarily. And what else? Divya Aneka. Many divine. Udyata uplifted. Ayudhya weapons. Many divine uplifted weapons. Uplifted why? Why is he talking about uplifted weapons? See, the word is there, udyaya, udyata, udyata. If you can look at the aneke divya varanam, divya aneko, so the word there actually is all joined together. That's divya aneka, udyata is uplifted, and ayudhya is weapon. So why uplifted weapons? Huh? Given by the Lord. What is Arjuna now facing? A war. Soldiers are right in front of him. And all the soldiers have their weapons ready now, uplifted. They are ready for the battle. Because that's what he said in chapter 1, that all the army started preparing for the battle. They started raising up their weapons, and so all he's seeing now in front of him are all the warriors on both sides with all their weapons ready for the battle. Now somebody also asked a very interesting question. Since all the soldiers were ready for battle, here Krishna and Arjuna having dialogue, then what are all those fellows doing there? All having Krishna press the pause button. Very good answer. No, no, imagine in this dialogue, 700 verses going on, we have taken 2-3 years to finish. Here all the soldiers are waiting there. So what they are doing? Having picnic or? So you must understand one thing. This trans, there are two versions actually, there are two explanations. One is, this transmission of dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna was not at the verbal level. It was transmitted from mental level. So it was a very fast transmission. It was not that it took, if you actually recite the verses, fastest recitation our Guru Ma in Delhi can do without looking at the book, she can recite all the 700 verses by heart in 1.5 hours. That's her speed. She goes at that speed, you know. So every day she recites the Gita twice or thrice. Because the speed is 1.5 hours. First we recite, it takes about 3.5 hours at a steady speed. Okay? So obviously 3.5 hours the soldiers could not have been waiting for them to finish their dialogue. So that one explanation was it was at a mental level, very fast. The second was that it was a short dialogue, but Vyasa created a expanded on the dialogue. Right? I'm sorry, he's the director, the script writer. So he added and expanded on the dialogue. He took the basic element and expanded on it. Right? So there are two versions. So we must try to understand that, okay? So uplifted weapons again, and uplifted we can understand because he's seeing the warriors who are holding the weapons up. But why divine? Because the adharmic people also were holding weapons. So why does he call it Divya Aneka, divine weapons, divine uplifted weapons? Correct, if in the hands of Dharma, but also the Kauravas were also holding the weapons. So he's saying, all the weapons I see are divine weapons. So the dharmic people holding, we can understand, is to fight for, to uphold Dharma. But how come Adharma also holding weapon we call divine weapons? Yeah, some of the warriors they receive divine weapons also, like Arjuna, I think even Karna also. But why we say all the weapons are divine weapons?
All are from God. Just like the all are from God, the weapons are all from God.
So, when we see every weapon in the hands of God, it becomes a divine weapon. Because that is Vishwarupa Darshana. Not the warriors are holding the weapons. It is God which is holding. The hands are hands of God which are holding the weapon. So, when we see the weapons in the hand of a person, we can say it is either good or bad. But when we see all weapons are in the hands of God, then we call all weapons as divine. Because why? Anything that is associated with the Lord automatically becomes divine. As we said, the apple associated with the Lord, apple becomes divine. A person who is associated with Lord, we call him a saint. He is a saint, why? Because he is associated with the Lord. He has got divine qualities in him. That's why we call him a saint. Okay? So divine weapons. Okay, what else he's saying now? In verse number 11. Divya Malyam Ambara Dharam. Dharam means, Divya is divine. Dharam means worn. What was he wearing? Malyam, garlands. Various variety of garlands. Okay? And Ambara is garments. So, variety of garments, variety of garlands also. Again, same thought, we have to understand that all the garlands on everybody are but the garlands on the body of the Lord. Every garland belongs to Lord. So, even if anybody puts a garland to honor us, it is actually honoring the Lord himself. So every garland is on the body of the Lord. And every garment is also on the body of the Lord. Therefore, in short, nothing belongs to us. This is basically what is Vishwarupa Darshana, that nothing in the end belongs to us. As somebody today also sent a WhatsApp, we came in the world empty-handed, we will leave the world also empty-handed. Whatever possessions we have, today belong to us, tomorrow belong to somebody else. Nothing is going to be taken. Only thing that you can take with you is what?
Karma.
Only thing you can take is your karmas. That's all you can take. Right? And your vasanas. Everything else you leave behind. Okay? So, what else someone is saying? Divya Ganda Anulepanam. Anulepanam means he is sprinkled or he is smeared. Smeared with what? Ganda, divine scents, divine perfumes. Right? So, all the perfumes that we smell are basically on the body of the Lord. And also, he describes Lord as Vishvato Mukham. Faces Mukham, Vishvato on all sides. The Lord who has faces on all sides, in all directions. Anantam, limitless. And what else does he see? Sarva Ascharya Mayam Devam. Ascharya, wonders, various variety of wonders. Devam, resplendent. So all kinds of various wonders also he sees in this Vishwarupa. Okay? And then there are few more words, verses, three more verses for Sanjaya to describe. Now, here in verse number 12, he is also describing now the very effulgence of the Lord. So earlier described what he saw. Now he's describing that this whole Vishwarupa is so effulgent. How effulgent is it? He says, suppose, he's describing, giving an example, he's saying yadi means suppose, Surya Sahasrasya, Surya sun, Sahasrasya means thousand suns, appear in the sky, arise in the sky, utita, yugapat. Yugapat means simultaneously. Imagine 1,000 suns arising in the sky all at the same time. He says that will be the effulgence of the Lord. So that's why there is a beautiful prayer in the Kathopanishad. I think you all have heard of this prayer. That many Chinmaya missions, they normally say this prayer every day. Na tatra suryo bhati. Have you all heard it? Na tatra suryo bhati, na chandra tarakam, nema vidyuto bhanti, kutoyam agnihi, tam eva bhantam anubhati sarvam, tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhati. What it means is this. Na tatra suryo bhati, suryo sun, na tatra suryo bhati, where the sun does not shine. So he is describing the Lord. The Lord's abode is where the sun does not shine. Number one. Number two, na chandra, even the moon also doesn't shine. Imagine if the sun cannot shine there, how can even the moon shine there? And Tarakam, even the stars also cannot shine there. Nema Vidyuto Bhanti. Vidyuto means streaks of lightning. Even the streaks of lightning also cannot illumine the place of the Lord. Kutoyam Agnihi. What more to speak about Agni, fire? If such a bright sun cannot illumine the house of Lord, how can even a little fire illuminate? So he says, why? Tameva Bhantam. Anubhati Sarvam. You are the very source of effulgence for everything. The fire gets its effulgence from you. The sun gets its effulgence from you. And as a result, tasya bhasya sarvam idam vibhati. Because of your effulgence, everything shines. So in chapter 15 also, there is a similar line also that is given to us. Chapter 15, verse number 6, page 272. Chapter 15, verse 6, page 272. Which we recite, we've recited this. Natat vasayate suryo na shashanko na pavaka yad gatvana nivartante tat dhamma parama mama. My dhamma, my house, my abode is a place where the sun doesn't shine, the moon doesn't shine, and the fire also cannot illumine. Meaning what? Not that where God stays there's darkness, but his effulgence is so bright that it is like if you take a candle. In a dark room, if you take a candle, it is very bright, right? If you go out in the sunlight and hold the candle to the sunlight, what is the effulgence of the candle compared to the sun? So that's what he says. Even how effulgent is the sun, the effulgence of the Lord is even more greater, right? And this particular verse also, and another verse in the Gita, chapter 11, verse 32, was recited by Robert Oppenheimer. Do you know who's Robert Oppenheimer? The one who saw the first explosion of the atomic bomb. If you go onto YouTube, you can see him actually reciting this verse from the Gita. This was at what, 19 something, I don't know what. They actually have this YouTube where he's there and he sees the first time the explosion of the atomic bomb, and it reminds him of this. That the what we call the effulgence of the atomic bomb he saw reminded him of the death which is going to come. So verse 11:32 describes about Kala, about death also, right? So now Sanjay is saying, suppose 1,000 suns arose in the sky at the same time, that will be the effulgence of the Lord, to describe the effulgence of the Lord. He says, tasya mahatmanaha bhasya sadrisa sasyat. It might, sasyat means this 1,000 suns, if they appear in the sky, the effulgence might represent something of the effulgence of the Lord. So you can imagine that his effulgence is even more brighter also. Mahatmana, the great one, this Vishwarupa Darshana. Verse number 13, the description continues by Sanjaya. He says now, he sees, what does he see? Krishnam. Again, Krishnam here means the whole Jagat, the whole universe, ekastam, existing in one place. This is what Arjuna is seeing. Everything in creation is just existing in one place. In the body of the Lord, meaning the whole creation is the body of the Lord. And he says, not only that, aneka pravibhaktam. Aneka pravibhaktam means he saw the whole creation, but individually divided. That means he saw the ocean separately, the stars separately, the sun and the earth separately. So the whole creation in differentiation, you could see it in the body of the Lord. And Deva Devasya means in the body of the Lord basically, because Lord is known as the Lord of all the Devas. Okay. So this is what he saw now. And finally in verse number 14, he concludes his description of what Arjuna is seeing. Now, here he describes what Arjuna is feeling now. Because as I said, with the Divya Drishti, not only could he see, but he could even experience what Arjuna's emotions are going through. So now he is describing Arjuna's emotions. He says, Tatha sa Vishmaya. Now is the first emotion that Arjuna is going through. Is what? Vishmaya. Vishmaya is wonder. And when we are filled with wonder, can you imagine he is seeing the same world now? And as we discussed last week, Rama was there at that time. When Rama appeared in front of Ravan, what happened? Any sense of wonder in Ravan? No. He just saw an ordinary person. He saw with hatred. Right? But Rama was what? Rama was Lord. Yet the Lord appeared in front of you and you don't even have any reaction at all. In fact, you have hatred reaction. You want to do something back to him. The same Rama was there and appeared in front of Sabri. Sabri cried tears of devotion. Same Rama appearing in front of Ravan, same Rama appearing in front of Sabri. Same Rama appearing in front of Hanuman, devotion. Why? Lord is there. Imagine Lord appears in front of you and you want to attack him. You know, there's a story of Bhasma Asura. Have you all heard of Bhasma Asura? He was a very terrible asura, a demon. So he kept tapas, severe tapas he kept. And when Lord appeared in front of him, Lord Shiva came. Lord Shiva said, okay, you've kept the tapas, you've followed all the rules and regulation. Now ask what you want. He said, I want the boon that whoever I touch on the head will turn to dust. That's why the word Bhasma, Bhasma means dust. So Lord said, okay, you have followed the rules and regulation, tatastu, so be it, that whoever's head you touch, he will turn to dust. See, when God appears, what should we be asking for? You don't ask for moksha. No, okay, ask for moksha, ask for blessings, ask for happiness in the world, ask that sick people be cured, ask for so many things, right? But this fellow asks for power to turn people into dust. So, the thing is, who was the first person he needed to touch on? How can he touch on himself? Who is standing in front of him? Shiva. So he said, who to touch on? So he wanted to touch Shiva's head. Shiva got scared. When he turned around, he started running. He said, help, help. He was crying to Vishnu, look at this fellow. I gave him the boon, now he wants to touch on me. So Vishnu said, don't worry. He sent Mohini, beautiful dancer. So beautiful. She's a nice dancer also. No? So the minute Bhasma Asura saw Mohini, he forgot about Shiva. So he was engrossed with Mohini. So now Mohini had to teach him a lesson. So she said, come dance with me. He said, I don't know how to dance. So he said, never mind, you just follow me. So she did a hand like this, he did his hand like this. She did a hand like that, he did his hand like that. She put a hand on her head, he put his hand on his head, and so the lesson is what? Lesson is that you ask for something, but in the end it also, if you ask for something wrong, Lord will find a way also how to destroy it also. So here, when Rama also was there, Sabri saw different reaction, Hanuman saw different reaction, Ravan saw different reaction. Now here what happened to Arjuna? Vishmaya, wonder, sense of wonder. Because he was devoted, he had a pure heart, devotion. So he saw Krishna. He saw this whole Vishwarupa, sense of Vishmaya, wonderment. And when there is wonderment, when you see something which is so inspiring, what happens? Rishtaroma, his hair started standing. And Arjuna's hair started standing 3 times in Bhagavad Gita. 3 times is mentioned. The first time is where? When he saw who he had to fight in the battlefield, his ass stood up. Because why? There was that fear, that depression in him. So, out of fear, his hair stood up. Now, second time his hair stood up, because of what? Wonderment. Wonderment. Sense of devotion. Sense of utter devotion. And the third time again, his hair will stand up. later on in this chapter, out of fear, because he sees the destructive part of this Vishwarupa. Vishwarupa has got creation, Vishwarupa is also destruction. So now Rishta Roma, his hairs were standing up. Right? And what did he do, therefore, to express his devotion? When mentally our reverence, our devotion is there for somebody, what do we do? Pranimya. We bow down. So that's what he did. In the reverence of this whole vision of the Lord, he bowed down. Pranimya. Sirasa, his head bowed down. Devam, to the Lord, as a form of respect. So the word pra is added here to indicate that. See, the word pra, when there's a prefix added in the Sanskrit words, it indicates more intense. So his devotion was so intense, the respect and devotion. And what else he did? Kritanjalya. The word Kritanjalya here means what you do. This is called Kritanjalya. And this Kritanjalya is very, very important, because we pray, we just put our two hands together. But do you know what you're actually doing? This is called Kritanjalya. It's called Anjali Mudra. You know mudras, right? They heal us. So this also is a mudra. It has got healing properties. What is the significance when you're bringing your left and your right hand together?
You and me.
All the senses. What does it mean?
The consciousness and being joined with the consciousness.
Merged together. Anjali Mudra is called Anjali Mudra. Kritanjalya. See, the left hand represents the left side of your brain. The right hand represents the right side of your brain. When? What is your left side of the brain?
Reasoning.
Right side is?
Emotion.
So one is rational, one is emotion. So thus what it means when we do this in prayer, when my mind is restless, I bring it together with my rational side of my brain. So my mind becomes calm. It is ready to concentrate on the Lord in front of me. So anytime there is fear in your heart, there is some disturbance in your mind, there's some agitation, this is the best mudra. To just sit down and do like that. Anjali mudra. It merges the left and right side of your brain. It merges the rational and the emotional part of your brain. So here's Arjuna, he's going through that. Can you imagine? Suddenly he sees this whole vision of the Lord in front of him. Can you imagine the type of emotion he's going through? So, Kritanjalir. Kritanjalir Abhasata. And these are the words that he spoke. Joining his hands together in devotion, in amazement, in seeing this Vishwarupa Darshana, now this is what Arjuna says. So now the scene shifts back again to the battlefield now, from Hastinapura to Kurukshetra. Okay. So now we see that Arjuna now, from this verse onwards, he will go through the three emotions that we spoke about. From this verse 15 to 31, okay, Arjuna will go through varieties of emotions. So up to verse number 31, first we will see the first emotion, which is called Vishmaya, right, which was described in verse number 14. Vishmaya is the sense of amazement. Now imagine if you see everything in the world as divine. Can you imagine the experience that you will go through? Vishmaya. So here he says now, he expresses now his sense of amazement from verse number 15 up to verse number 31. Yeah. Deva, O Lord, here addressing Krishna now as a Lord. Now earlier he saw Krishna as what? As his friend. Then he saw him as a charioteer. Now he's addressing him as Deva, as the Lord. Dehe, in your body, Pashyami, I'm seeing. This is what I'm seeing. Okay? Again, Dehe in your body does not mean Krishna body. It means the whole world is the body of Krishna. Okay. What am I saying? Multitudes of different beings, Bhuta. Bhuta. Okay. Multitudes, Vishesha Bhuta, all kinds of beings. And you all kinds of human beings in different shapes, different sizes, different colors. This is what I am seeing. And what else am I seeing? I am seeing Brahmanam. Here the word Brahmanam, if you look at the third line, Brahmanam, Isham, Kamala Sanastam. So who is this Brahmanam, Isham, Kamala Sanastam? Lord Brahma seated in the lotus leaf. That means what? Lord Brahma also came from you. From the navel of Vishnu came the lotus. In the lotus was sitting Lord Brahma. So I recognize you as the very creator of Lord Brahma. That means what? You are beyond Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. So this is what I am seeing. Brahmana, Isham, Kamala, Sanastam. Asanastam means sitting. I see Lord Brahma sitting in the lotus, which is also coming from you. And what else do I see? Sarvams Rishim. All the celestial sages, Vashishta, Narad, etc., all the variety of sages also I see in this Vishwarupa Darshana. And what else? Divya Uragams, divine serpents, Vasuki, who's the other serpent? Ananta, who is Lord Vishnu, serpent, Ananta, he sleeps on the thousand-headed snake, and there's Vasuki. So all these serpents I'm seeing. Now in verse number 16 he carries on. Planet where all the serpents reside. Not really sure. It's mentioned there in some of the scriptures, yeah? I'm not sure. What is that? That written by Swami Rama. Is it mentioned there? I can't remember. All the serpents, right? Could be, I'm not sure about that. So here he's seeing all the various divine serpents there. Okay. So we must understand Vishwarupa Darshanam is not an extraordinary vision. Vishwarupa Darshanam is not an extraordinary vision. It's an extraordinary attitude towards the ordinary things in creation. Our attitude to the ordinary things in creation changes. It is not we are seeing something like thousand snakes appearing from there, thousand suns coming. No. The same thing what we are seeing, but our attitude is different to everything. So what else he is saying now? Verse number 16. Aneka Bahu Pashyami. I see Twam, I see you Lord, with Bahu, Aneka arms. Many, 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 many thousands, limitless arms. Udaram, many, many, many stomachs. Vaktram, many faces. Netram, many eyes. Okay? Varieties, various eyes, various stomachs, various faces. This is what I see in the Vishwarupa Darshanam. And Ananta Rupam, endless infinite forms. So in the Padma Purana also it is mentioned that the whole creation consists of 8.4 million type of forms. Right? The figures given in Padma Purana, one of the Puranas, 8.4 million type of species are there. And the breakdown is given in the Padma Purana also. Why? How do you get this 8.4 million? Because there are said to be aquatics, that means sea creatures, 900,000 aquatics. So sea creatures forms alone are 900,000. That's why every day they are discovering something new in the ocean. Suddenly they discover some new fish, some new whatever it is. So there are said to be 900,000 species of aquatics, number one. All is? What is that? Shri Purana. Okay. Ah, you can come as anything also, right? Right, okay. So here 900,000 species of aquatics. That's how they get 8.4 million. 2 million species of plants. So plants also are included in that creation. Plus 1.1 million species of insects, worms and reptiles. Plus 3 million species of animals. And human beings, you know how many species? 400,000. Different varieties of human beings. 400,000. Varieties of human beings. Not one, we see 400,000 varieties. So, if you add up this 400,000 plus 3 million plus all this, you will come to 8.4 million, which is mentioned in the Padma Purana. And this is what Arjuna is saying. Anantam rupam, endless infinite forms I'm seeing. And thus he says, I cannot see the beginning, I cannot see your middle, I cannot see your end. Because since it's endless, the whole creation is endless, so I cannot see the antam, the end, na madhyam, the middle, na adim, the beginning, na pashyami. So again, we can take this endless or infinite in two ways. One is in terms of space. I don't know where is the beginning, I don't know where is the end. In terms of space limitation. You are unlimited by space. Second is by time limitation. I do not know where is your beginning, where is the end. Because since it is endless means it is continuous. There is no beginning, there is no end. Yes?
Human beings, right? So how do you classify the 400,000 right?
No, that's what is just given in the Padma Purana. How the classification means there are 400,000 types of human beings.
Is it race or quantity?
I think it refers more to the quality of people, that there are 400,000 different types of qualities of beings. Right? Not in terms of physical, but in terms of I would say internal emotions. So there are 400,000 of varieties of beings. That's how we get the 8.4 million. And he uses finally the word there, Vishveshvara Vishvarupa. Vishvarupa means the cosmic person. This is the identity of the whole creation, the whole totality of creation. Vishveshvara means Lord of the universe. So this is how he is addressing Lord. That you are the cosmic person and you are the Lord of the whole universe. And he goes on to describe now, verse number 17. So it's a very abstract chapter. You have to really try to understand this. It's not like the other chapters. It's a very straightforward. This one, you have to use a little bit of your understanding. Okay? Verse number 17. Here Arjuna says, Pashyami Tvam. I see you wearing a kiriti. Kiriti is a diadem. Diadem is a crown which has jewels on it. Okay, so I see you wearing a crown. Okay? And what else? You are holding a gada, a mace, and holding the chakra, which is the disc. Okay? So again, it means what? Not that again Krishna was wearing the crown and the mace and the gada. It means what? All the crowns of all the kings, and this crown is only worn by the kings only. So there were many kings in the Pandava side, there were many kings in the Kaurava side. So all the crowns of all the kings I'm seeing are but nothing but your crowns. All the maces which are held by all the warriors are belonging to you. All the chakras also belong to you. This is what he's seeing. And then he says, O Lord, you are Tejo Rasin, the effulgence, the brightness is Dipti Mantam, is shining bright sarvato all over. I see your effulgence shining all over. In all directions. Meaning what again? Why is the effulgence in all directions? Because sun is also your effulgence, moon also is your effulgence, stars also are your effulgence. So in all directions I see nothing but your effulgence. And as a result he says, it is so glaring that I find it difficult to see. Right? And what else? This effulgence is dipta analam. It's like a blazing fire. Not just like a normal fire. It's a dipta analam. A bright blazing fire. And it is Artha. Artha means a blazing sun. It represents the blazing sun. And just like we are told not to look at the sun directly, can you imagine now 1,000 blazing suns appearing in front of Arjuna? Definitely he finds it difficult to see. Verse number 18, he says, Tvam Veditavyam. How are you to be known as? Now again you must understand that Arjuna is recalling what he has learned also about the Brahma, about the highest form of Lord. So he is recalling all the teachings also that he has learned. So he says, Tvam Veditavyam, you are to be known as what? Aksharam, imperishable Lord. You are the eternal God. You are Paramam, you are the Supreme Lord. So he is glorifying, the more and more he sees this Vishwarupa, he is getting more and more excited, more and more inspired. And thus all the things that he has learned about the highest form of God, now he is expressing what he has learned also. So you are the Aksharam Paramam, which tells us that he is now recognizing Krishna not as the Krishna form, but he is beyond that. He is the Nirguna Brahman. That is what he is describing him as. Aksharam Paramam. And Tvam, you are Nidanam, you are the refuge. As I explained to you last week, I think, when we say, what we mean by Lord is the ultimate refuge. When we call Lord as Nidanam, you are the ultimate refuge. What do we mean by that? When we call Lord as the ultimate refuge. Nidanam. Param Nidanam, the ultimate refuge. Why do we call Lord the ultimate refuge? When everybody turns their backs on you, when everybody does not support you, there is only finally the ultimate refuge is who? Lord. Lord will never turn his back on you. That's why he is said to be the ultimate refuge. When you cannot depend on anybody, at least one person you can depend on who won't let you down is the Lord. But you have to seek him with the true heart. So you are the Param Nidanam. And you are Tvam Avyaya. You are the eternal, unchangeable, changeless reality, which is Brahman. Basically, he is referring to him as Brahman. And what else here? Shashvata Dharma Gopta. Shashvata Dharma Gopta, which means protector. You are the ultimate protector also. You maintain. See, why do we call Lord also as the ultimate protector? Because he is the one who maintains the law of dharma. The law of karma, the law of cause and effect, everything is maintained perfectly by Lord. So that's why he is known as Shashvata Dharma Gupta, the protector. He keeps the harmony in creation. When there is an imbalance, what does he do? You recall chapter 4, verse 7 and 8? Yada yada idharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. When there is an imbalance of dharma, when there is a decay in dharma and an uprise in adharma, he comes to restore the balance. Establish dharma, to basically restore the balance. So he is the ultimate protector who comes to restore the balance. And thus he says, you are sanatana, you are eternal. So there's a lot of repetition here basically because he is just speaking out of his emotion. You know, sometimes we get carried away, right? We meet the most wonderful person, we just can't stop expressing our devotion, our love and our gratitude to that person. So this is what he's saying. You're eternal, you're Purusha, you're the all-pervading one, right? And in verse number 19, he says, you are Anadi, you are without beginning, you are the Madhyam, you are the middle, and you are the Antam, you are the end. That means you are the totality in creation. Ananta Viryam, you have got infinite power. You are capable of creating the whole creation. Ananta Bahu, endless arms. Again, the same expression is using again. Because to create also, you need endless arms also. And Sashi Surya Netram, your eyes are the sun. Sashi is the moon. Surya is the sun, your eyes are the sun and the moon. Okay? Meaning what? When you say that your eyes are the sun and moon, you are capable of seeing everything. Because in the morning time, sun is there. In the night, when sun is not there, moon is there. That means Lord knows everything that goes on. He is the all-knowing one. And now, he sees a little bit of the fear now coming in Arjuna. Now he starts to see the destructive form of the Lord. What does he see now? Dipta Bhutasa Vaktaram. Now the mouth of the Lord appears to him now to start to terrify him. Because the mouth he sees as a dipta, blazing, putasa means fire. So the first time now slowly his attention is shifting now to another part of the Lord, which he sees the mouth as the blazing fire. And blazing fire, which means what? Fire that destroys everything. So slowly now we are going to see his emotion now change to an emotion of fear. See, when we say blazing fire that destroys, when we do a Havan Yajna, whatever we put into the fire, what happens? Everything gets consumed, everything goes away, everything gets destroyed. So here he sees the mouth of the Lord, the blazing fire, which later in the next few verses he's going to see as the very destroyer. So then his emotion is going to change now from Vishmaya to Bhayam, to fear. Like what? Like a black hole, yeah. It's like a black hole. So we will come back and discuss this next week, the verses, and see how Arjuna's emotion turns from Vishmaya to Bhayam. Mesmerizing. Okay, end with a prayer.
Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kansa Chanura Mardanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande